Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast as Pastor Trey Kelly leads us in this series, A Place to Call Home.
All right, today is the day. If you've been around Wellspring for the last couple of weeks, you know we've been on this journey, and today is the day. Today is the day that we publicly declare to each other and to our church and to Myrtle Beach that they are worth it. That really is how I feel about it. We are taking a step today to leave this space. If you're a guest, you may not know what's going on. We recently signed a lease on a permanent home for Wellspring Church. We're very excited about that. It's the Golf Dimensions building on 501 in River Oaks. And we've signed that lease, and our goal is to move in by the summer of 2015. And so what we've been doing for the last couple of weeks is kind of walking together as a church through this journey, because we're asking people to consider something that's pretty scary. We're asking people to consider not only returning back to God what we believe is His, which is the first 10% of everything we get. We're asking people to pray about it, to consider committing to give above and beyond that 10% for the next 3 years, to do that in a sacrificial way so that we can raise money. It's what it is, so that we can have the funds to do what we believe God wants us to do over the next 3 years as we move into this building. And we've been calling this journey A Place to Call Home. And it has really been exciting. I shared with last hour. It's really kind of been an overwhelming day for me. It's kind of crazy. And it's overwhelming for me because, you know, I mean, I'm there are times I look in the mirror and I can't really believe that God saw fit to ask me to lead this thing. I'll confess to you, I don't really feel worthy to lead it. You know, I try to do a really good job to let you guys know, like, I'm not better than you. I'm not different than you. I'm just the guy that God picked to be on front of the stage. And that's really how I feel today. I'm overwhelmed by all that God's done. You know, I remember this thing started in our house with like 8 people, and all their last names were Kelly and Goff. And so all of them, I think, the first time. And so just to see where God's brought us, it's been an overwhelming day. And I guess at the top, I want to say thank you. Thank you to you for being a part of this church. I guess thank you to God for deciding to pick me. And it's just really exciting to see where God's brought us and what God's about to do today. Because I do believe God is going to move through us to accomplish this task. I believe God has great plans for this church. And I am fully confident that when God wants something to happen, it happens. And He's led us this far, and I believe He's going to continue to lead us. I mean, if you're a guest, but basically what we've been trying to do is, as I said, we've been trying to raise pledges and commitments and gifts. And our goal is $1 million. It's up here. Our goal is to raise $1 million above and beyond regular giving in 3 years. That's kind of what we're trying to do. And the reason we're doing that is, number one, we've got to pay for the renovations of our new home. It's a golf store now, and you guys, I mean, you've been nice coming to a church and a YMCA and a gym, but I think you draw the line at a golf store, right? You're like, no, we're not. So we've got to renovate that. We've also got to pay for the additional rent. Our rent's going to obviously increase when we have a permanent home. We're going to bridge that for 3 years. We believe after 2 or 3 years, the church will have grown enough where we can cover that rent ourselves. But we want to be wise, and so we're trying to raise this money so we have it for the next 3 years. And then the last one is for our Love MB initiatives in 2015. Love Myrtle Beach is kind of our service outreach of our church. We partner with local organizations around the community that are making a difference, and we basically say, hey, what do you need? And we go help them. We help them on a weekly basis. We help them on a monthly basis. And we also do big service weekends where we all come together and we go serve all these different places. And many of you have done that before. And I just don't think it's right for us to say, hey, Myrtle Beach, we've got a renovation project to do. When we're done with that, we'll love you again. And so we're not going to stop. We're going to continue to do everything we can to show Myrtle Beach how much we love them and how much God loves them. And so basically this money we're trying to raise, these pledges and commitments, are going to fund these three things over the next 3 years. And what I've been asking everybody at Wellspring to do is very simple. It's a simple prayer. God, what do you want me to do to create a place to call home? That really is the prayer. And I hope you've been, like I have, been going through the 21-day prayer guide. I read that thing every day. I prayed through it, and I fully believe that God has given us a commitment, and we've made that last hour, and I'll make it with you again this hour. And I hope you've been praying that prayer as well. And as you've prayed it, I hope you've remembered what we've been talking about. This is the first time we've really asked us, that we think God is asking us as a church to not only give obediently, to not only give generously, but to consider giving sacrificially, right? We define sacrifice as when we give up something we love for something we love more. I joke to all the parents in the room that we all know what sacrifice is because we all gave up something we love, sleep, for something we love more, those children that won't be quiet. We've all given up that. And that's what I believe God's calling us to do in this moment, is to consider sacrificing some things for the next 3 years so that we can see the men, women, and children of Myrtle Beach, how their lives changed by the message of Jesus. We've also been talking about, as we make this sacrifice, that God views sacrifice differently than we do. You know, he doesn't view it in dollar amounts. You know, he really views it by our heart. What we've been talking about is that God's not asking for equal gifts. He's just asking for equal sacrifice. He's just asking for each of us to say, all right, God, what is it you want me to do? What is it I can do today to serve you? What is it I can do today to honor you? And when he has our heart in that moment, he's pleased with whatever we do because he has our heart. That's kind of where we've been on this journey. And if you were here last week, you know that we basically had a pep rally last week. We showed stories. We shared with you four stories of people whose lives have been changed through Wellspring Church, whose lives would be different were we not here, and who God God has worked in their life to just really radically transform not only their family. We had a really cool story. We saw a family tree transform. We saw three generations of people, a son, a father, and a grandfather, all three be baptized. At Wellspring Church. And if you were here between services, you know we had a baptism service between these services. And we saw even more people have their lives changed. And the reason we show you those stories, the reason we celebrate all that is because that is the reason we're doing what we do. I've been making this joke the whole series. It's not to give the setup teardown team a break. I know you guys need it, but it's not to give you a break. It's because we believe this is the step God's calling us to take to reach more people for him. And so what I wanted to do today, because in a moment we're gonna all make our pledges and we're going to make our first gifts and we're going to give and we're going to sing and it's going to be exciting. But before we did that, I felt it was important as your pastor to give you a little bit of a framework of what we're doing, to give you just a little bit of a biblical basis and a biblical background for why it is we're doing this and why I feel comfortable as your pastor asking you to consider sacrificing for a few years. And to do that, I want to turn to a guy named Paul. We talk about Paul here a lot at Wellspring, because Paul wrote about half of what we consider the New Testament. The Bible's divided into two basically sections. There's the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament tells the story of God's creation of the earth, tells the story of God's creation of man and woman, talks about how we rebelled against God and said, hey, God, we're smarter than you. And basically the rest of the book is a rescue story. It's about God saying, even though you left me, I'm going to chase you, and I'm never going to let you go. And so the Old Testament tells a story of God moving through a man named Abraham and the nation of Israel, and how he sought to use Israel as an example for the world to draw people to him. And then the New Testament kind of picks up 300, 400 years after the Old Testament stops. And God basically says, all right, I'm going to try something different. I'm going to go myself. And the New Testament tells a story of God's rescue mission, of God sending his son Jesus to live a perfect sinless life, to die on the cross for our sins, to 3 days later be resurrected, to take the 12 people who followed him close, actually 11, one of them ended up not working out too well, 11 of them, I got a church crowd, y'all got the joke. Those 11 men changed the world. He basically said, all right, everything you've seen me do and everything you've heard me say, go do it. And they changed the world. And the New Testament tells that story. The New Testament tells the story of Jesus coming, of the church being started, and then the church spreading throughout the known world. And Paul picks up right in the middle of the New Testament. Because Paul was actually a Jewish priest, and he wasn't really keen on Christianity. He actually went around trying to arrest Christians, didn't really like them. An amazing thing happened. He was on the road, he was on the way to Damascus, and Jesus basically appears to Paul and says, dude, what are you doing? Like, that is the exact Greek translation, by the way. Dude, what are you doing? And Paul goes, I don't know. And Jesus says, well, stop it. And Paul says, okay. And Paul becomes a follower of Jesus. He has his life radically transformed through that encounter with Jesus. And Paul goes on to start a bunch of churches, and Paul goes on to write a bunch of letters to those churches. And here's the cool thing. Here's what we believe. We believe that God himself was speaking through Paul when Paul wrote those letters. And that God was allowing Paul to write things he wanted us to read 2,000 years later. And so we can actually read Paul's letters and know exactly what he wants us to do in our life and how he wants us to live. And in one of those letters, in 2 Corinthians, Paul actually talks about what we're doing today, because Paul was raising money. Paul was raising money for the Jerusalem church. The Jerusalem church was having some struggles. They were poor. And so he had basically written to all his churches and all the people he knew and said, hey, I want to take up a special offering. I want to take up a special offering to try to help our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. I want to do whatever we can to change their life. And he writes this letter back to the church in Corinth because he had basically asked them to pledge. And he's about to come in. He's trying to get them to finish out their pledge and to give what he want, you know, what they should give. This is above and beyond their regular giving. He's asking them to do a special thing. And so it's perfectly applicable to what we're doing today. And I wanted you to hear it because what Paul says is amazing. Because we all know generosity is a good idea. We all know sacrifice is a good idea. We all know it helps other people. But what Paul's going to explain is it actually helps us too. There's actually a benefit to us. And so before we make this step, I want you to know there's actually a benefit. Now, it sounds weird, right, being generous and getting a benefit from it, but that's the way God works. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That's where I'm going to be. And if not, it's going to be up on the screen, just like always. And Paul kind of begins this discussion. He's been writing this letter, and he's been talking about this a little bit, and he kind of jumps right in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, at the end of verse 5, and he says this. He says, I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. You know, we kind of have a saying here at Wellspring, no twisted arms, only willing hearts. And I hope you felt that as we talked about this. It's really not about twisting arms. I mean, I don't believe in leading by guilt. It never works. Guilt's not really an emotion God ever intended us to feel. So I don't know why you would lead in that. We've just basically tried to present the need, present the opportunity, and ask you to allow God to speak in your heart. And so what we hope today is that if any pledge made, any gift made is given willingly and not grudgingly. And here's why. Here's why. Because when we are willingly generous, it changes the game with God. Here's what I mean. Paul says this. He says, remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now, I know you're all farmers in the room, so you understand that. But 2,000 years ago, there was a lot more farmers. Paul's basically explaining, if you plant a few seeds, you're going to get a few crops. If you plant a bunch of seeds, you're going to get more crops. It's pretty common, pretty simple, pretty basic. But Paul's basically building a metaphor. He's going to carry on throughout this lesson, okay? So here's what he says. He says that, then he keeps going. He says, so you must each decide in your heart how much to give. You're going to give a little seed, or you're going to give a lot of seed. That's kind of what Paul's saying. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. He says it again. God loves a person who gives cheerfully. He's saying, you must give cheerfully. Here's why. Verse 8. When you give cheerfully, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So what you're hearing right now is great. If I give 20 bucks, God's going to drop 100 on me, right? That's how it works. No, we are not that kind of church. It will not happen. But here's what he means. When you are generous, God will provide all you need. Here's the thing. Most of you don't need more money. You need more peace. You need more forgiveness. You need more purpose. You need more satisfaction. You need more love. You need more contentment. You need more joy. And our gracious Heavenly Father will give you all you need. When we are generous with our stuff, we open the door for God to be generous with us and to generously provide all we need. But Paul's not done. He keeps going. He says, as the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor, and their good deeds will be remembered forever. See, there's another benefit to being generous. There's another benefit to being open-handed with the things of God. So we said last week that we believe the church is the greatest investment in the world because it is the only thing you can invest in that changes eternity. It is the only thing you can invest in to be guaranteed to have a return. It is the only thing you can invest in that you can be guaranteed is going to result in changed lives because their good deeds will be remembered forever. Your generosity will be remembered forever. Your obedience will be remembered forever. So we get to participate with God in this moment. We get to participate in changing eternity. And here's the crazy part. We get to participate. We get to be generous And it's not even ours to begin with. He goes back to the farmer analogy, which all of you are really tracking with. The farmer analogy, verse 10. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. He's saying, sow a bunch of seed because God's the one who provided you the seed anyway. What he's saying is you get to be generous with other people's stuff. It's fun being generous with somebody else's stuff, isn't it? When I was growing up, my mom was always very generous with my time. I was like, thanks, Mom, that's super helpful. But that's what Paul's trying to help us see. Remember, we just had a whole series called How to Be Rich. It's all God's, not ours anyway. So Paul's just trying to remind us, man, it's not even yours. And so you get to be open-handed. You get to be generous with stuff that's not yours. And then Paul says something that you're going to kind of go, wait a minute. I don't know about that. But Paul says it. Here's what he says. He says, in the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Now, that does sound like Paul saying, if you're generous with your stuff, and God finds out he's got an open hand there, a generous hand, he's going to keep filling it. Now, I'm not saying that. Paul's saying that. And he continues. He says, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. Now, I have to confess, these two verses made me uncomfortable. I didn't know how to communicate them to you as your pastor. I didn't know how to explain them to you in a way that didn't sound like I was saying, give me $5, you're going to get 10 back. Because I don't believe that. But I can't shake what Paul says. I don't get to change what Paul writes. And so I was stuck. For the last couple of weeks, I've been stuck over this. I've been thinking about it and praying about it. And I promise, this isn't a preacher's story. This actually happened. Last night and this morning, something happened with my children, and God fully explained it to me. Obviously, we've been in this journey of a place to call home, and we've been talking to our kids about it, especially our older two, David, Jonathan, and Jacob. David is 9. Jonathan is 7. Jacob is 4. And we were talking to Jonathan and Jacob, I mean, David and Jonathan last night about this. We just said, hey, guys, a place to call home's tomorrow. How much do you got? Would you guys like to be a part of this? Would you like to? Because we teach them to tithe. They tithe off their allowance and off their birthday presents and things like that. They tithe. And so we were talking last night. I was like, hey, do you guys want to be a part of this? They're like, yeah, we do. So we started asking them, how much money do you have? And it turns out each of them have about $50. Between $40 and $50 is what they thought they had. And so we're like, all right, well, guys, you've been thinking about this. You need to pray about it. This was last night. I said, how much of that would you like to give to a place to call home? And John's like, I think $20. I think $20. That's like 40% of what he has, And so, and David's kind of the same. He's like, yeah, $20, $20. Yeah, that's probably what I'll get. And so this was last night. We're like, all right, well, y'all pray about that and y'all go talk, because I'm thinking that number is going to come down because that's all their money. Right? They shouldn't give all their money. And so, I said sacrifice. I didn't say give everything. And so this morning, I'm getting ready and I hear Danny in Jonathan's bedroom and I hear them counting and they're counting out his money. And I walk in and he's like, I have $52.48. He's got a 48, don't forget 40, 48 cents. And I'm like, all right, buddy. I said, so have you thought about it? Yes. How much do you want to give? And he looks at me with a big grin on his face. He says, all of it. And I didn't know what to say. I said, John, that's all your money. Are you sure? He's like, yeah, Dad, I want to get all of it. And about that time, David came upstairs and he had his envelope and it was already sealed. I said, what are you going to do? He says, oh, I'm giving all of it. He said, I'm giving all of it. I cannot tell you as a dad what it felt like to have your two sons willingly, cheerfully say, we want to give it all. And you know what the first thought in my mind was? Honestly, first thought in my mind. I got to figure out a way to give them back that money. It really was. I was like, they're giving away all their money. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to make sure if they need anything, I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to talk to some other people. We're going to, Christmas is coming. They're going to get that money back. And it was almost as I was having those thoughts, God kind of whispered in my ear and he goes, exactly. That's how I feel. And he said, you're a sinful, selfish, jealous, prideful human. And your heart softens and warms at your children being generous with what you've given them. He says, I'm perfect. Just imagine how my heart warms. And the desires I have for you and the ways I want to pour out and bless you when you are generous and open-handed with the things I've given you. And folks, I believe that is the lesson that Paul is trying to explain. Is that when we are generous, when we are open-handed with the things of God, it warms the heart of God in the same way it would warm each and every one of your hearts when your children did the same thing. The way you feel about your children's generosity, that's how God feels about you. The things you would do to bless your children in their generosity, that's what God would do for you. And that's the lesson I believe Paul is trying to say to us today. Is that when we are open-handed, it lets God know He has our heart. And once He has our heart, there is no limit to what He can do. And then Paul says this, he's not done. And then he says this, which is amazing to me. He says, and when we take your gifts, what you are generous with, to those who need them, they will thank God. You know what that means? That means there's a single mom in Myrtle Beach right now who is not making it. She is on her last leg. She doesn't know where to turn. She doesn't know what to do. And because of our generosity in here today, God is going to change her life next year, and she's going to thank God for what you did. There's a marriage right now in Myrtle Beach that is on the rocks, man. They are done. They're deciding how they're going to tell their kids. They've called the lawyers. It's over. God's going to change their life over the next few years. He's going to do it. I know that because He's done it so many times. And when that happens, they're going to thank God for you. They're going to thank God for your generosity. They're going to thank God for your open-handedness. They're going to thank God that you sacrificed and that their souls were worth it. The teenager who just can't find any friends at school. And he's trying. And he's working. And there is one group who's drawn him in. And parents, it is the one group you don't want him to join. But he didn't have a choice. He didn't have any other friends. Well, God's going to change that teenager's life. And when that happens, that teenager is going to thank God for you, for your gifts. See, that's what God does through Wellspring. That's what God does through all of His churches when they are singularly focused on one thing, sharing the love of Jesus with a world that desperately needs it. And last week, we celebrated all the stories of all that God has done. And today, right before we give, I want you to see one more. I want you to see one more story. I want you to see Anna's story. And I want you to hear how God moved in her life, how God changed her life. I want you to reflect how God has changed your life. And when the story is done, we're all going to come together. And we're all going to pledge, and we're all going to give. And we're all going to covenant today to do whatever it takes to create a place to call home so that every man, woman, and child in Myrtle Beach can hear the truth of Jesus. Check out Anna's story.
Well, I grew up in the military, so we bounced around a lot, and I never really had a home base, which was something that was always really hard for me. You know, growing up, you never had somewhere safe to go home to. I got divorced 3 years ago, and the military sort of dumps you when you get divorced. So me and my kids had to pick somewhere to go. We ended up coming to Myrtle Beach. After I got divorced, it kind of rocked me a lot, and I got really depressed, and I was alone, and I stopped going to church, and I stopped going to Bible studies, and things sort of went into this downward, you know, depression type of thing. And I didn't have any idea on what I was doing. Every day was just a try to survive the day kind of thing, you know, with the kids and with school and finances and everything else. And getting divorced left this universal sized hole inside of me, and it did not matter what I did to try to fill it, nothing worked. I checked out. I was not there when I was supposed to be there. I mean, I took care of my kids, I cleaned the house, I got them to school. I did what I had to do, but I wasn't there. My heart wasn't in parenting. I was not in a good place. And it's terrifying having to be a single mom and be responsible for every decision and for two little girls. So we moved to Myrtle Beach and came to Wellspring. And within like 2 seconds of walking in the door, we knew it was our home. The first like 6 times I went to Wellspring, I just sat crying the entire time because it was the first time, and as stupid as it sounds, it was the first time that I had heard that I was loved unconditionally. It was the first time that I was told that no matter what I did, I was gonna be forgiven. And being a single mom, there are a lot of things I feel I need to be forgiven for. And since all of these things, that hole is filled. And it's not filled with a man, and it's not filled with a big budget, and it's not filled with a huge house or a fancy car. It's filled with security and love that is unconditional and forgiving, and it's all the things that anybody has ever wanted, and I literally want for nothing now. In May, I graduate from college for the second time, which is exciting. But right now my mom is helping me raise my children while I'm in school. She helps out taking care of them, and she's gonna be leaving Myrtle Beach. I'm a transplant and I don't have any family here at all other than my mom. So when she goes, it will just be me and my two girls. And for the last 6 months, I've been really struggling about what to do next, whether I wanna stay here and do it alone, which is terrifying, or you know, move somewhere where I have a little more support. And after talking to Danielle and really realizing how much we have here with Wellspring, we decided to stay because I know that no matter what life throws at me, I've got God on my shoulder and a family at Wellspring that will help me make the hard decisions and support us and help me raise my children in the best way possible. There's nothing scarier than being alone to make decisions that affect the rest of somebody else's life. It's just terrifying. And there's no words to describe how grateful I am to have somebody who helps me make these decisions. You know, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and then it was like out of the blue, I had peace with it and I knew what to do. And I've never had that before. I've never not had anxiety. I've been an anxious person my whole life. I was a medicated anxious person my whole life, and I don't take anything for anxiety anymore because I give it to God. I lay everything down to God and I know that it's gonna be okay. This is the first time in my entire life I've had a home and had a community where I feel safe, you know, and that's something that is just life-changing. I'm so grateful that I walked in those doors at the YMCA a year ago. I'm so grateful for how happy and healthy my children are, and I'm so grateful that I have peace in my life because I never had that even as a kid. I mean, I've never experienced anything like the life that I have, and it's been a year. You know, think about what it could be like 5 years from now or 10 years from now. There's still so much work for me to do, you know.
That's why we're doing it. Because there's more Annas out there. You know some Annas. And they need a home. And they don't know that they need Jesus. They don't know what that is. They just know they need something. But we know. And so that's why we're going to do whatever it takes to create a place to call home. If you have your commitment card, you can take that out. If you came and you forgot about it, we've got one in every chair. But I'd like to ask everybody to go ahead and grab this card. And I just want to explain it very, very quickly. It's a simple card. It's needing some information and just letting us know what you plan to do over the next 3 years. I do feel compelled to say this is not a legally binding contract of any kind. Some people think it is. It's not. We understand situations change, circumstances change. You can always change. You can always let us know. But this just helps us know where we are. And so if you haven't completed this card yet, I invite you right now. I'm gonna fill one out right here. And I invite you to prayerfully complete this card and answer that question. God, what do you want me to do to create a place to call home? We're not only making commitments today, we're also giving our first gift towards this commitment. And so if you need to make that choice as well, you can go ahead and if you need to write that check. And again, I pray that you do it willingly. I pray that you do it with an open heart. And I pray that you feel the absolute blessings of the God of the universe as you are generous with his stuff. And in a moment, I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to return our pledges and our gifts. And you can see we have two baskets up front. We're going to ask everyone to stand to their feet and to come forward as a family and to make your pledge and to make your gift. And if you're a guest today, if it's your first time, I want you to look around. I want you to take in what is happening. Because if you're a guest, I want you to know the lengths to which this church is willing to go to introduce you, your friends, and your family to Jesus. These people aren't being dragged to do this. They aren't coming kicking and screaming. We are joyfully and happily sacrificing so that Myrtle Beach can fall in love with Jesus. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to make our pledges. We're going to give our gifts, and we're going to celebrate who God is, what he's done, and what he's going to continue to do. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for the privilege right now of being generous with your stuff. We thank you for the privilege that you have blessed us in such a way that we can return back to you more than you ask for, more than is required, that we can generously and graciously give back to you out of the abundance of how you've given us, and that you're going to use these gifts to change lives. That years from now, people are going to thank you for what we do here in this moment. I pray that this moment not only be a pivotal moment in the life of our church, but in the life of this city and the life of this region, Father. May it never be the same because of what we as Wellspring do today. The declaration we make into eternity that every man, woman, and child in Myrtle Beach that doesn't know you is worth it. They are worth the sacrifice. It's in your amazing and holy name we pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm Trey Kelly, and I'm the pastor of Wellspring Church.
And I'm Danielle Kelly. We would love to invite you to spend Christmas Eve with us this year at the House of Blues.
We'll have two identical Christmas shows at 4 and 6 p.m. right here in the iconic House of Blues. We'll have great music and an inspiring message. It'll be a night your family will never forget.
We hope you'll start a new family tradition by spending Christmas Eve with Wellspring Church.
You can get your free tickets right now at wellspringchurch.tv. We hope to see you and your family this Christmas Eve at the House of Blues.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.